Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. For the last 3 weeks, we've been, all year really, we've been in these different sermon series that have to do with getting set free in 23. And we looked at getting free to live and getting free to give. And for the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to be learning about how to get free to love. Say love with me.
Love.
All right. Let's all stand. If you're there, got your notes and everything, got your Bible, we're in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1 and then going to skip over to verses 13 and 14. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say I need Bible drill. All right. Some of you don't even know what Bible drill is. It's something we used to do years ago. Need to return to it. All right. What's the first word in Galatians 5:1?
Stand.
Stand fast. Therefore, now here's a key word, in the liberty. Say liberty.
Liberty.
By which Christ has made us, what's that next word?
Free.
Free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. That's a great word for us there. Now jump down to verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to, what's that next word?
Liberty.
Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. One word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Father, bless the reading, bless the teaching, bless the preaching of your authoritative word for our lives this morning, and help every single one in this building to respond in obedience, because that's where freedom comes from. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Now, Paul's talking here about the law of liberty, and he calls it the law of liberty. Galatians 6:2 talks about the law of Christ. Over in James chapter 2 and verse 8 talks about the royal law. And James 1:25 talks about, the law of liberty. What is all this stuff about the law of liberty? What is that law? Well, it's love. It's love. And you remember Jesus shrunk the Ten Commandments down into two. You remember that? You've read that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is likened to the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the Apostle Paul even shrunk the two down into one word. Did you catch it? It's love. There in 13 and 14. And the great love chapter in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, and these three abide, faith, hope, and the greatest of these is
love.
And so I want to talk to you about the freedom, the liberty that we have in order, it was given to us in order to love folks, to love God and to love others. And I want to tell you the highest Christian hallmark, what sets us apart from everybody else, is love. Love. How do you spell love? There's always one in the crowd, isn't there? All right. Love. That's what we're going to talk about, the freedom to love. God set us free. We've been given this liberty in order to love folks. And by the way, I'm going to say it again today probably, but the way you show God how much you love Him is by the way that you love others. This is going to be a real test for some of you. Look at somebody face to face and say, I love you. Now, Pastor Cimbala went another step Thursday, and we had to go hug somebody and say, I love you. Yeah, that's what he did. You remember? And so we're going to talk about this freedom that we've been given this morning. Now, let me just say, I'm the strangest pastor anybody will ever have. But this week I was watching a documentary, and y'all are the strangest sheep of anybody could ever have. So anyways, it's a good fit, amen? All right, so I was watching this documentary this week about Charles Manson. That's right, your pastor. I like to see things and hear things and watch things. That I want to know what makes people tick, you know, and this crazy Charles Manson character. But anyways, I learned some things, and he had attracted a little 15-year-old girl, teenage girl by the name of Lynette Fromm, and her nickname was Squeaky. And she was on the front page of just about every newspaper back in the summer of 1976 because she tried to kill the president of the United States. You know why she tried to do that? Charles Manson told her to go do it. And so the investigators began to interrogate her and found out that she was a disciple of the Manson family. And they asked her, they said, what in the world are you doing? She's 17 now. She's been with him for 2 years, with the Manson family. And so they said, why are you with him? Why would you kill for somebody like that or be willing to die for somebody like that? And here's what she told them. I was a misfit in my own family. She said, nobody loved me. Nobody cared about me. And so she said, I just decided to leave home at the age of 15. She started wandering around the country. And she made up her mind that whoever it was, the very first person that would really love her and care for her and minister to her, if you will, she said, I'm going to give my life to them. And guess who the first person was that said, I love you, and if you'll come to our family, we'll care for you. You know who that person was? Charles Manson. I won't tell you what, brothers and sisters. We are surrounded by people who are starving to death for love. Amen. And granted, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. But bless God, we've got what folks need. We have the love of Christ in us. And that's what I want to unpack for us this morning. This is not a long sermon. Be fairly short for what y'all are normally put up with in here. But there's just two quick points. If you're taking notes, I want to just give you two quick points from Galatians 5:1, verses 13 and 14. This freedom of love, this liberty of love that God has given to us has been defined. I want us to look again at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Now, when you read that word free, what comes to mind? Freedom, liberty. Well, there must have been a time, if you're free now, there must have been a time when you were not free. You were in bondage. And the Bible agrees with that. The Bible says we were once slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin. Sin was our master. We just sinned and sometimes didn't even really know it. We just knew it was wrong and did it anyways. We were slaves to sin. And sin it enslaves you. It's like an addiction. It entangles you and just puts you in a prison cell. We were once slaves to sin. Now, we don't like to think about that because we're so high and lifted up and, nice. No, we were all slaves to sin. Couldn't do anything about it. And by the way, sin leads to death. And I want to tell you, sin will kill a relationship. Sin will ruin a family. Sin will destroy a life. We were once slaves to sin. But as Paul reminded us here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have repented of your sin and by faith turned to Jesus Christ and given Him your life, if He's the Lord of your life, if you turn to Him and Him alone as your only means of salvation and having a relationship with God, guess what? You've been set free from sin. You've been set free from the penalty of sin. You're being set free right now from the power of sin. Here's just a little note. You don't have to sin anymore. You don't have to. You've got the power to live above sin. Isn't that great? What liberty we've been given. And our theme verse for the year is John 8:32, I believe it is. Or maybe it's 31. 32, yeah. You shall know the truth. And then verse 36, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so this description, this freedom of love, this liberty, this higher law that we're under, if you will, of love sets you free. I spent a long time preaching on the freedom that we enjoy now from sin back in the early months of this year. So this is review, really, this part is. And so, if you're free from sin today, at some point in time, every day, you ought to just look up to heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. He has set us free. Somebody shout freedom.
Freedom.
Now do a little bit better. Everybody shout freedom.
Freedom.
Now say love.
Love.
Because you see these two go together. God has set us free so that we might love others. Now here's the second point. This freedom of love thing that we're talking about this morning, it's not only defined there in verse 1, it's described perfectly in verses 13 and 14. Let's look at those one more time. Okay? For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. We've talked about legalism and license back months ago. You remember that? One of you does? Okay. I'm not an idiot. I know you forget what, you know, the sermons. Probably you won't be able to tell much tomorrow about it. But hey, that's why we have podcasts. And that's why we've got stuff. That's why we have a YouTube channel. And that's why we've got a Facebook page. All right. But through love, serve one another. Now, I'm going to talk more about that next week, about serving one another. But God has set us free to serve others. To serve others. And he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. And what's that word?
Love.
Love. Even in this you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so this law of liberty, this law of Christ, this royal law, this higher law of love is a law that if you, we're under grace now, amen? We're under grace. But there is a higher standard and a higher law that we live under, and it's love. And it's not binding. Doesn't have any chokehold on us. We are free to love others. And I want us to can just look at Galatians 6:2. I want you to see this. There's some real promises for this freedom of love that God has given us. If you will live a life of loving others, here's what God will do. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, here's what happens when you do that. Turn with me to the book of James. Man, I want you to see this. Y'all know where James is? Right after what book? There you go. James chapter 1, and look at verse 25. Have mercy. James 1:25. Here it is. The rest of y'all are cheating because Ellen's got it up on the screens. If you'll have your Bible with you and open it up and find it, you'll remember it three times longer than just looking up at a screen. Okay? James 1:25. Here it is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, what's he talking about there? Love. And continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. Listen to this. This one will be blessed in what he does. You want to live a blessed life? You want God to bless you? You want God to bless your family? How many of you would say yes? Everybody in the room. Everybody in the church house. But if you really want God's blessing on you, start loving somebody. Matter of fact, start loving everybody. We don't play favorites. James talks about that. Now, whoo, look at this one. This is just as good. Look at James 2 and verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law, now what is the royal law? Love, same thing. According to the scripture, you shall love, here it is, you shall love your neighbors yourself. You do what? You want to be blessed and do well? Start loving folks. I don't completely understand how God does this, but when, you know, if you're born again, if you're saved, you've got the spirit of love in you. Look at the one you're sitting beside. I see the love. I don't feel the love, but I see the love. You've got the spirit of love in you. And it's flowing in you and through you. And when you allow that love to permeate your being, that love eventually spills out on somebody else. And there is a freedom that is out of this world that you experience when that happens.
Amen.
I ran across a quote. I clipped it and brought it to you because I wanted to get it exactly right. Dwight L. Moody said, I firmly believe that the moments our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that's contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. It gets even better. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition in the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. And brothers and sisters, I tell you what I've found out. If you'll live a life of serving others and loving others, it'll set you free. And I'll guarantee you today, if you'll get your eyes on others and begin loving them as Jesus did, there'll be a freedom that maybe you've never experienced. It's out of this world. I called Rick Tobler this morning to kind of get his permission. And Rick and Marianne Tobler have a neighbor. Her husband died just a few months ago. And they threw their arms around her and started loving on her. And you know what? She started coming to Second Mile Church. Angela, stand up. This is Angela Masterton. And bless God, Rick and Marianne live right beside her. And so they just started loving on her. And she's a part now of our widows ministry. She comes to all the widow stuff that we do to minister and bring life to them and love them. And that's what I'm talking about. Getting somebody on your heart. Getting somebody that you can go and love on and love them with the love of Christ Jesus. And when you do that, it'll set you free. Amen. Glory to God. May we be known as a loving church. Jim Cimbala brought up the other day, it'd be a great thing to be known as the Church of Faith, but I want to tell you, it'd be even better, in my opinion, to be a church that's known for love. It's love that makes the world go round. What's y'all's favorite love, Don? And then this jumped out at me. Look at verse 25. Oh, gosh, goodness, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Look at verse 15. I'm back in Galatians 5. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by another. Now the picture that the Apostle Paul's painting here under the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit is of two wild animals attacking one another. That is a picture of the average Baptist church today. It is. The average church is sitting around fussing and fighting about stuff that has no eternal value whatsoever. Well, I think we ought to have pink carpet instead of green carpet. Well, why did we paint it this color? Well, why do we do this? And they bite one another and they devour one another. And they, am I talking to anybody here today? Listen, folks, everybody's got different opinions. But we got to find a way to love one another. You can disagree with me, but there's a right way and a wrong way. Hallelujah. Now, I'm Baptist. I've been Baptist 9 months before I was born. And I can say this, okay? Some of y'all will get that and some of you won't, but that's okay. Goodness, it's almost 10 o'clock. I ran across this cute story years ago, but there was a couple that just kind of driving down through the South, and they wound up in this kind of county seat town. And right there in the middle of town, there's this gorgeous church, and the name of the church was Harmony Baptist Church. And the wife come in, isn't that a beautiful church? That's a great name for a church, Harmony Baptist Church. And then they stopped and ate on the square. And then they, right out there on the edge of town, just beyond the city limits, there's another church building out there. And it's called Greater Harmony Baptist Church. And then about 10 miles down the same highway, New Harmony Baptist Church. How's God going to bless that? Huh? We get in a fight and want to go start another church? Uh-uh. How's God going to bless that? We got to love one another. We got to love one another. There was a mama and her two little boys, and she's cooking pancakes for them. Kevin was 5, Ryan was 3. And she's cooking pancakes like there's no tomorrow. And the boys are sitting there hungry and at the table. You know how little boys, how hungry they are? Well, they begin to fuss and fight over who's going to get the first pancake. And so mama hears this, and so she turns around because this is a prime opportunity for her to share a moral lesson with her two boys. And so she turns around and looks at them and says, guys, now if Jesus were sitting at the table, He would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. And so they just sat there. She turned around and thought, man, I've done a good job. I've taught them a great lesson. And the oldest boy looked at the younger boy and said, Ryan, why don't you be Jesus? We got to find a way to love one another. We got to find a way to love one another. Angela, are you glad you got neighbors that love you?
Absolutely. God
provides. Amen. And I could have picked out many other stories like that. I'm looking at the Atkins family. They're taking care of it. Anyways, we got to find a way to love somebody. Because you see, Jesus loved us when we weren't lovable. And He expressed His love on a cross, as we were singing about this morning. And when you come to faith in Him, He puts His love in us so that we can be an expression of His love. Who's on your heart today? Who's on your heart today that needs love? They're all around us, everywhere, everywhere. And you know what? God has left it up to His people to extend that heart of love to everyone. Let's pray together. Father, I just rest in the wonderful grace of Jesus. And if we'll just be obedient to what your word tells us to do, you'll line people up. You'll put them in our path. Because people really are starving for love. Not just any kind of love, the love of Christ. And we've got what folks need. And so God, help us to give of our time and our treasure and our talents in order to love folks. And we love others because He first loved us. Help us to follow His example in loving people. And out of love, I just want to share with you this morning. If you don't have that love, you can walk out of here with it. But it comes by grace through faith. And if you'd pray a prayer, something like this, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws. I haven't lived up to your standards. But Father, I believe that your Son paid the price for all my sin. Would you forgive me of my sin today? I want to turn from my life of sin and selfishness, and I want to turn to Jesus and receive what He did for me on the cross. And I believe He's alive this morning, Father. And I want Him to come in and change me and forgive me. I pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Some of you have prayed a prayer like that and you never really got saved. You see, God's looking at your heart today. He's listening to the words too. But if you need to do that today, please, please do that. And for those of you that have, I want to invite you. Maybe you need some loving. Maybe you need somebody to love on you. Maybe God's put somebody on your heart and you need to find a way to love him. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a schoolmate. God will supply that power for you. This altar's open for any of those needs that you might have today. Father, bless this time of response. Bless this time of seeking your face. Please, Lord, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Andrew's going to lead us in a hymn of response. Altar's always open here at Second Mile. Don't be afraid to come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.